Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Does it make me a terrible talk show host that there are maybe 1,000 things I'd rather talk about tonight than whether or not Julian Edelman is a Hall of Famer? Now, he is my mom's favorite football player. I'll give him props for that. And he did have an excellent, I mean excellent, outstanding, notable, remarkable postseason performance whenever he was on that stage. He's a Super Bowl MVP going back to Super Bowl 53. He's got the second most playoff catches in NFL history. Only Jerry Rice has more. There are a lot of things to note and to remember about Julian Edelman's career, and I'm sorry it's not ending on his terms. I'm sorry that his knee won't allow him to continue. He's obviously very emotional about it, and so I hope that he finds the same type of fulfillment post-career, because it's a struggle for a lot of athletes, especially when it's not their choice to walk away. But it's a good thing you have every other talk show in America debating whether or not Edelman is a Hall of Famer, because I do not want to. I just don't. There's like I said, plenty of other shows that are doing it. Maybe it's this, I have this gene. I don't know where it came from. Probably my maternal grandmother. Where if the entire world is doing one thing and going one way, I got to go the other way. I'm allergic to doing the same thing as everyone else. But also, this Hall of Fame debate, it's subjective, right? It's an opinion. And so you could just keep going around and around and around and around, and we're never going to agree. If you think Edelman's a Hall of Famer, great. If you don't think Julian is a Hall of Famer, that's also great. It doesn't take away from his 3 Super Bowl rings, his Super Bowl MVP, his 118 postseason catches, his 12 seasons in the league, and the mark that he left with the Patriots. Well, to play 12 seasons with the Patriots alone is an accomplishment and a feat. So if you think he's a Hall of Famer, yay. If I think he's a Hall of Famer, yay. If we don't, yay. Good. We covered it. That's settled. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, I start with football just because I'm being a bit snarky, but because in not even 20 minutes, one of your favorite guests is making an appearance. One of our favorite guests will join us from Los Angeles, Cynthia Freeland, who has her own NFL Network duties, and will be joining us live from LA coming up in not even 20 minutes. I wonder if she's going to bring it up. I hope not. I promise I won't warn her off, though. I won't allow producer Dave to tell her that we don't want to talk about Julian Edelman, or I don't want to talk about Julian Edelman as a Hall of Famer. We'll see if she brings it up all by herself. But Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network math nerd extraordinaire, and I do mean that with all of the affection and admiration that I can possibly muster. She's one of my favorite people in the business and also one of my favorite runners in the business, which is why I'm going to give her the opportunity. We've already discussed this on Twitter. I'm going to give her the opportunity to convince me to tackle a full marathon. I've already committed to a half marathon next spring to kind of reintegrate myself into big events and crowds. But she thinks I should go for the full marathon. I think she's crazy. I think marathoners are crazy in general. Good kind of crazy. My kind of crazy. But I don't know if I can be that committed. I'm old, like super old. And I don't know. So we'll see. I promised her that we would talk about it. The thing is, I don't like to tell people no. I really like to tell people, yes, I support you. I'm with you. I agree with you. And if she gives me the like really convincing speech, I'm going to find myself committing to a full marathon and then regretting it like nobody's business. And then I'll have to backpedal. So someone save me from Cynthia. Cynthia the runner. Again, she'll join us coming up right after our first break. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. I will definitely ask her what franchise in sports she would own if money were no object. So we had a really good time talking about this on our last show. And you guys, I am so impressed with the variety and the wealth of answers that you gave on both Twitter and Facebook. I went back and read through all of them on Monday, and we even retweeted a few from our Twitter account, our show Twitter account, and then on Facebook. I really enjoyed the depth in your answers. Yes, there were some of you that just gave the name of a franchise and that was it, but many of you were explaining why you would buy a particular franchise, the way that Alex Rodriguez and his partner are planning to buy the Timberwolves and the Minnesota Lynx of the WNBA. So I think it'll be fun to ask her because she's a great sports fan. And if you have yet a franchise that you'd like to purchase with your Monopoly money, well, then you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page named After the Show. My personal Twitter is A-Law Radio. Whichever one you choose, we're always glad to hear from you. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to start with a little bit from the NBA first before we switch into football mode with Cynthia. It was a game that I really enjoyed up until the very final minute. Warriors and Nuggets. And this is a game not only because Denver has such great star power and I enjoy the group that they've put together, and I do believe that they can make some noise in the postseason like they did last year, but also because what's happening with the Warriors is fascinating. They've got some injury issues, obviously. But we don't normally, or we haven't in years, seen the Warriors scuffle like they are doing this year to try to stay in range of the playoffs. And you know, there's the new wrinkle with the NBA this year again, where there's the 7-10, I want to call it a 7-10 split. 7-10 split in bowling. No, it's the 7-10 play-in tournament. Players don't like it. But the NBA's keeping it. And the Warriors right now are sitting in the 10th spot in the NBA's Western Conference standings. I miss Klay Thompson. I have to say that every time I talk about the Warriors. But while all of this is taking place, and they're scuffling, and they're trying to get their heads above water, they're still below 500. They've been embarrassed and blown out in a bunch of games, enough to make Curry mad. Steve Kerr's coaching his arse off, doing the best that he possibly can, but it's not nearly as talented a group as what we saw with those five straight NBA finals. And as I say, there's some injury issues, and they're trying to find a new identity again this season. However, Steph Curry is playing like a madman. He has put together an incredible stretch. Scoring, yes. Leadership, absolutely. And so he's enjoying himself. He's healthy. He's doing everything, well, aside from the bruise, but he's doing everything he possibly can to drag this team along with him. And if you're not watching the Warriors this season because you think they're not worth paying attention to, well, that I can understand if you think, hey, this is not the same Warriors that lit up the league in winning three titles and five straight finals. But he is so much fun to watch. And he's determined to raise the level of play for his entire team. A lot of the young guys coming along with him. But the West is a beast, and the Warriors are now getting a taste of what they did to the rest of the league for 5 years. You got a good team, you run into the buzzsaw that is the Golden State Warriors. So it's a different look. It's a different identity, as I say, for Golden State. But it is, in fact, the same old Steph Curry. And before we even get to the finish of this game between Warriors and Nuggets, there was a huge moment in the first quarter that you should remember.
17,782 for Curry. Dribble drive. Curry goes in, drives the layup. It's up and good. And there he is, Stephen Curry. Now the all-time leading scorer in Warriors franchise history. He shines brighter than the Big Dipper as he passes Wilt Chamberlain into history.
It was kind of surprising to see him break that record in the first quarter, though. You know, we all figured he'd find a way to get 19 points tonight, but maybe not in the first quarter.
Ha ha. It was a precursor of things to come. 48 points through three quarters for the Warriors against the Nuggets, the number four team in the West. And they finished the third quarter on a 10-0 run with a lot of their second unit in there. Tim Roy, Tom Tolbert on the Warriors radio network. In the fourth quarter, Steph, I think, had all free throws. He finished with 53 points. But they were all free throws in the fourth. And they really didn't need him to be scoring there in the fourth because the game wasn't quite as close. So huge victory for the Warriors over the Nuggets to the point where, if you haven't seen the video, the Golden State Twitter account put it out following the game. Post-game locker room celebration. Steve Kerr was so thrilled with his guys that he gave them tomorrow off from practice. And you see, all of a sudden, the guys start jumping around and Steph jumps right through the camera. Anyway, it was a big night for him. Big game for the Warriors. And maybe this gives them some momentum. We'll see. They've got back-to-back wins. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll let you hear from Steph himself once we can wrangle that post-game reaction. But Draymond Green did an interview with the Warriors Radio Network right after the game. I actually was in my car driving into work and listening to it. And I loved what he had to say about Steph and playing with Steph.
It's been incredible. You know, when I obviously think about my career, I can't think much about my career without, you know, thinking of Steph Curry. You know, we've done some incredible things together. And as, you know, as incredible as it's been to play with him, it's been even more incredible and more special to create a brotherhood, you know, that'll last far past my days as a Warrior, his days as a Warrior, my days as a basketball player, and his as well.
That was immediately following the post game, before Steph Curry got doused with two bottles of water. Apparently there was not enough water left in the jugs, in the Gatorade, Coolerade, so they had to... Well, it wouldn't be a Gatorade Kool-Aid. What did I just say? A Gatorade Kool-Aid. No, that would be gross. I meant to say Gatorade cooler, and then I realized if it's got Gatorade, it doesn't have water, but you get what I'm saying. The bright orange ginormous coolers, they couldn't dump those. And actually, they may not even be using them now because of COVID protocols. I'm not really sure. I haven't been up close and personal in an NBA arena to find out. But they doused him with a couple of bottles of water that were COVID-free. Anyway, he was doing an interview and they got him. So we'll hear from him as soon as we possibly can. But congratulations to Steph Curry on passing Wilt Chamberlain to become the Warriors' all-time scoring leader in their franchise history. One more from Steve Kerr, because he's obviously had a front row seat for what Steph has done since he got into the league.
Well, he's so even keeled. That's one of the great things about Steph, is that his approach doesn't change much, you know, whether he's, you know, struggling or breaking Wilt's record. Either way, he's going to come in with the same mindset, competitive desire, focus.
He is great for the Warriors organization. He's so good for the NBA. So is Jamal Murray. And unfortunately, at the end of this game, with roughly 50 seconds to go, so we're talking final minute, Jamal is driving to the hoop, and it wasn't really a collision. There was contact, but that's not what happened. He crumbled upon landing after attempting a layup. He crumbled, grabbed his knee. It was awful. It made my stomach turn to see him writhing in pain. So he clearly felt something pop or snap in his knee, felt something that caused him great agony. And so the trainers came rushing out. He was able to, he didn't want to take the wheelchair. They brought a wheelchair out. He didn't want it. So he was able to get help standing up and then limp off under his own power. But at this point, you can imagine there are a lot of members of the NBA as well as people watching who fear the worst. Here's Mike Malone.
No real update. You know, I think they're going to go try to get some imaging of the knee and see what the injury is. Obviously, very down locker room. Yes, we lost the game, but I think everybody's thoughts are with Jamal and hoping that he's going to be okay. But no definitive answer right now. We're waiting kind of word on the imaging, and we'll go from there.
Because of the way it happened, because of where he was grabbing his knee, the fear is a torn ACL. I hope that is not the case. It would suck for the Nuggets. It would absolutely suck for the NBA. He's one of their bright stars. I love to watch him play. And as I was listening to the Warriors radio network, Tolbert was lamenting how much it would be a blow to the league to lose Jamal the rest of the way, especially when you consider what the Nuggets did last season and how they were primed to build on their success in the bubble. So we'll wait. But at this point, you can hear it in Mike Malone's voice. And as he describes his locker room, a very down locker room, they do fear the worst. All right, coming up next, really excited to welcome Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network. She makes stats even cooler than I could possibly. And she is the definitive nerd alert. Woo! So she's straight ahead.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Coming in as a Carolina Panther, I'm very excited. Very excited for this opportunity, and just to come in, with a fresh start, and just excited to get going.
It's a football feeding frenzy after hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one Sam Darnold, first time that he has addressed the media or spoken publicly after he was traded out of New York to make way for the number two overall pick, presumably a quarterback under Robert Saleh. Darnold now with the Panthers. Teddy Bridgewater is still a Panther, though Darnold expected to be the starter come 21. And he's been really honest about the fact that he wanted to build something in New York. He wanted to stay with the Jets. He wanted to see that through. He fell short of that dream, something else he said on Monday, but now facing forward and a fresh start with the Panthers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So excited to welcome Cynthia Freeland, who joins us from Los Angeles NFL Network. And Cynthia, I know it's been a few days since this trade took place and Sam ends up with the Panthers, but how do you like it for both Carolina and for New York?
I think it's a great fit on both sides. The first thing was, look, if this new regime for the Jets wants to pick a quarterback, then they should do it the first year they're there, because if you look at, you know, what happens after that, the leash becomes shorter. The opportunity for a team to really revamp, take some time, you know, the owners become impatient, and whether or not they say, it doesn't really matter how long of a deal they signed. It's the nature of the sport. And on the other hand, with the way that it went with Sam's contract and having to decide if they did that option to take it or not, the real price tag would have been about $21 million, right? So $750 this year, about $20 if they signed that tag for next year, or the rookie tag, so that they could get that $20 million, and which would be a premium to the market. So for them, for $21 million and a new opportunity, you're only picking twice at second, you know, maybe once, you know, obviously we all like to pick. You'd like to think they're not going to pick so quickly in the draft in the future years. So it's an opportunity cost. And then as far as the Panthers are concerned, $21 million for 2 years for a guy who they believe in, that's cheap compared to what you'd find in the open market.
For sure. Although I kind of feel like Sam Darnold just can't stay away from Tom Brady. If Brady goes to the NFC South, Darnold, he's got to be right there with him.
Seems like a bad, like, maybe don't do that. Like, seems like a way to lose.
Or maybe he's like, you have got to be kidding me. I just got to play in a division without Tom Brady, and now I'm back with him again.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, definitely.
So here we are. We're a couple of weeks away from the NFL draft. And from your math stats brain, I'm wondering, how do you go through and match up teams with picks, whether it's need, whether it's value? I know that you look at things differently than most people do when they're talking football. So how do you look at the draft upcoming for value?
So try to figure out, like, you know, needs are always important. Obviously, if you don't need a quarterback, you're in a much better situation. But this year, more than ever, I've gone through and looked at things like a lot of different ways, because I think there's a lot of different strategies. I think this year is going to be interesting. We obviously saw the Patriots take a different strategy than we've ever really seen them in terms of spending take in free agency. So that's going to impact the draft. And it's a lot more uncertainty in this draft than in prior drafts, too, because the season was so weird with COVID. I mean, everyone's pro day has, I mean, if you aren't running 4-4 or whatever, are you even trying? You know, like, what's going on with you, right? So it's just all so different. So I've been trying to take a lot of different approaches to see what's kind of, is there consensus? And in some places, for some teams, there is consensus for where they should pick. A lot of teams, this is a really strong draft class for tackles, for offensive play. Maybe some are, could be a guard or a tackle. There's some discrepancies, but, and it's great for corners, and it's great for wide receivers again. Not so good for defensive tackles. Not so great for, you know, a lot of the edge rushers are quite raw. So, you know, there's no Chase Young in this draft. So it's interesting, because sometimes needs the better way to do it, and other times kind of best available. It just really depends where you're picking. Like, you know, once you get past about 20, it's probably smarter to take four for, you know, best available in this year's draft class than needs, you know, all things considered.
Cynthia Freeland of NFL Network is with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. I was looking over some of your recent posts and some of your recent videos or work that you've done for the network, and I saw that you did a deep dive on the wide receivers, which is really a fascinating position for this upcoming draft. And so you were kind of fitting teams together with the available receivers. What did you come up with for some of the top guys that are available?
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about this is there's a lot. So I tried to look at it from both ways, right? Like, where, who has the highest fit, like, period, and then where would the player go? Because, you know, any team with a need, they have kind of different ones. One that came up for me that was, you know, quite interesting was, you know, where does it go, like, in terms of, you know, place people like the Giants, for example, who they obviously went and spent a lot of money on Kenny Golladay in this offseason. So who do they go target? And what kind of routes do we look at to complement what they did with Kenny Golladay? So, you know, actually, a number of players, like if you look at it from the perspective of a team, came up. But if you look at it from the perspective of which player adds the most wins to a team, it is quite interesting. Obviously, the number one, Ja'Marr Chase, is, you know, a very, I guess, like, he's probably maybe in terms of who has the best chances to be like a, you know, all pro, whatever. He's probably like the number one guy. I paired him with the Dolphins. I paired Jalen Waddle with the Giants because of those, the route complement, like the complementary factor of the route running for him, and with Kenny Golladay, Devonta Smith with the Lions. And then I went with Terrace Marshall to the Ravens just because of his big body, and then Kadarius Toney to the Cardinals, actually. But that assumes that there's no Larry Fitzgerald.
There has been talk about whether or not Devontae can be a long-term receiver at a high level in the NFL because of his size and because he's so slight. I'm a huge fan. A lot of times guys coming out of Alabama are already equipped to succeed, but you believe that he can be a guy who excels at the NFL level?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, he's really good in press coverage. I mean, top in FBS, like, really, really good. I don't care about his size. I mean, I do, but I don't, right? So when you look at how consistently he runs routes, and I tracked it with computer vision, like, it looks like a telestrator. So you see, like, the yellow line that follows it. Alabama receivers are really good at running routes.
Yes.
I mean, Calvin Ridley is a poster child for this. And Devonta Smith is just like that. He's really interesting because he has a really high floor, meaning he has less likelihood of being a bust, And he also has a super high ceiling. You know, his size does mean that it will matter. You know, I'm from Michigan. The Lions are going to be terrible this year. So I'd like to put him in a different team for his own success. But I think he'll be, the point is that he has, what that means with the math is that he flashes as someone that is a true, like, number one wideout right away. So that's it. I'm not worried about his size. He's not like my height, right? He's not 5'6".
No, he's not that. Amari Cooper, another one out of Alabama who runs really precise routes. So as a Lions fan, how do you like Dan Campbell and the whole idea of biting people's kneecaps?
I mean, look, everybody loves a good presser, and we all love a good soundbite, you know? We all love a good soundbite. What's not to love about that, right? I think that this team's strategy makes no sense, at least at this point, which, you know, that's kind of what I think all Lions fans have come to expect. But I don't know. I'm willing to give it a shot because, of course, what other choice do I have? I do think he seems like a nice man. Like, he seems like a guy who, like, oh, like, he'd be fun. You'd have a beer with him, whatever. But I don't know about the whole strategy. I don't know if the whole Jared Goff situation, there were some really pricey contracts that they just basically took over from the Rams, you know, on defense too. So we'll see.
Fourth
in the NFC North. Okay. Again, got it.
We did have a bunch of fans from Detroit say that if they had as much money as they needed, money were no object, that they would purchase the Lions because they believe the Lions need new ownership and need a new perspective and kind of get that away from the Ford family. So I'd love to pose that question to you because I know you're a fan of sports across the board, not just the NFL. You're tweeting about the Masters. I know you like to watch other sports too. So if you have Monopoly money and money is no object, what franchise in sports would you purchase?
You know, it'd be really hard. I like to make more money. It's funny, those are nice Lions fans that, like, want to help out the team and get them some wins. I'm like, who's going to make me some money? Give me the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sitting there, like, why would I take anyone that's not going to – maybe the Giants, but there's just such a good, like, already, like, historically great franchise. So, I mean, the Maras are so special, and so is Jerry Jones. But, like, you know, I'd like the money. I'll probably take the Cowboys or, like, Manchester United or some giant team like that. But if it was purely based on, like, if I just had money to kind of burn, I think I'd probably buy the Red Wings. I love hockey. I love my Wingies. And, yeah, Red Wings.
By the way, the Cowboys just happen to be the most valuable franchise in sports, $5.5 billion. So you're right. They do make a lot of money, even if they haven't won anything in a while. Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network is with us. She's smart. She's got not just the math sense, but the money sense. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. So quick time hop with me, Cynthia. And I know you were on our show at some point last spring, though I don't remember exactly what month it was. But this time last year, we were prepping for an NFL draft that would originate in Roger Goodell's basement. And it's great that we're not doing that again. They'll be in Cleveland and they'll have limited fans, but what do you remember most about last spring and going through the NFL offseason from wherever it was that we were all sequestered?
You know, I think that was interesting because, remember, we had a full combine and we had, like, a normal season prior to that. So the thing I was, like, really interested about was thinking about this time last year, I was really thinking about how the new prospects would potentially learn. And I think the thing that goes untalked about a lot is the fact that these teams have really had to adapt, like, virtual learning systems for players. So this will actually benefit them this offseason too, even if we go back to more in person than we were last year. It will be more. I just don't know what extent that will be.
Right.
But the tools that they created in order to help teach their players were really special and interesting. So you're going to see some the good teams are going to keep getting better. I mean, the Ravens are going to be good again, even though, you know, the Browns have had the most, like, kind of really great offseason in that division. I think the Ravens, the good teams are just going to keep getting better. This year, they'll probably separate themselves even more.
It's interesting that you say that because I've heard multiple coaches and even some players, quarterbacks who've done interviews this year, talk about how it was a different learning experience, but they learned a lot because guys bought in. It was more of a cerebral approach to football. It was more, of course, tape and scouting, more teaching, and yet it benefited many of them who just haven't had that kind of an education in football for years, if ever.
Exactly. And so a lot of these teams created, they took a lot more of, like, the kind of the old school things and like put them on like formats that these younger guys are really more excited about, like on their phone or on, you know, it looks more like a video game, or they were basically learning in like this VR world that, I mean, I feel like an old, I'm not even that old. And like, I'm like, wow, I can't even like back in my day, the internet was, but like, you know, like, but now they're like using VR to prep their playbooks and, you know, they're watching stuff on their phone, like while they're commuting. Like, it's really interesting, really interesting.
Mm. Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network with us here for just another minute or two. All right, Cynthia. So how many marathons have you run in your life?
I mean, we're at 23, but
what?
This year I really had to slow down because they canceled all the marathons this year. So, or many of the marathons this year. So I'm just trying to do one in each state. So, I mean, whenever you're ready, let me know. I can send you a training plan. I got, you know, 27 states left to go. So we got to pick a good state where I haven't done, because I'm not going to double up on states because 50 is already ridiculous. And then you pick a state and I'll get you the training plan and we'll get out there, and who cares what the time is. It's just, you get across that finish line and I tell you, it is special.
Okay, so here are my two concerns, and you tell me if I'm just completely ridiculous. Number one, I feel like it's really painful, and so that's the part that scares me the most, is that it seems really painful to run 26 miles. The most I've ever run in my life is the half marathon 13. I've done that 5 or 6 times now, but I've never done 26. Is it really painful?
No, it's all in your head. If you can do 13, you can do 26. I'm telling you.
Oh, I'm telling you.
It sounds crazy, but if you can do it, you can do it. You just have to decide. It is all in your head. And you know what? Of course it's painful at certain times, but at the end of the day, you're so much, like, you're like, oh my gosh, I just ran 26 stinking miles. Like, that's amazing. So I'm telling you, it's worth it. Totally worth it.
Okay,
you don't need to do it more than once.
That's true. I would do it once and then never do it again. That's absolutely, I'm not you. So my other big fear is that I won't have the time to train. It does take a lot of time, I'm assuming, but the plan that you said you have for training, is it one that makes it manageable? Because, you know, you and I both have jobs. And so.
Yeah, no, it's like, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you right now, you're probably not going to win, right? Like, you're not going to medal. It's going to be okay, though. But, like, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to get, like, you know, you're going to cross the finish line. I'm all about, like, the good thing is, like, you learn the things. You learn, like, where do I need to eat? Where do I need to drink? What, like, you learn, and I want to do it. I don't want to be, like, one of those weirdos that, like, you know, you're just so, like, marathon, like, oh, I give up my entire Friday because Saturday morning at this time I'm going to do it. No. You have to fit it in with your life so that it's an additive, not, like, making people want to punch you in the face because all you're talking about is your stupid marathon.
Exactly. Now, see, my only goal ever when I run, I'm not sure what you set as your goals, my only goal is to get through the entire race without stopping. I don't care if I'm last. I don't care what my time is. It's just to go the entire way without walking or stopping. And so if I can do that, it would be a success to me. Not to mention, I can't imagine at this age, because I'm old, that I could do it. But if you think it's manageable.
You can do it. But here's what I tell you. What's wrong with walking a little bit? You know, like, I'm not suggesting you walk the whole race, but, like, take a drink of water, walk a little bit, don't give yourself, you know, like, I mix in some walks because I can't drink water and run as fast because it just, like, makes my stomach hurt.
Yes.
So, like, you gotta, you know, you grab the water, you walk with the water, and then when you're ready, you start running again. It's all good. It is all good.
Okay. I'm going to consider, have you done one in Oklahoma?
Not yet. I have not.
Well, Oklahoma has this amazing memorial marathon that they do to honor the victims of the 95 bombing.
Yeah, that one's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. I've done the half marathon there, and it's incredible atmosphere because every single mile there are people, bands, or just people
awesome.
That come out. Some of them, there's this whole stretch where they're dressed in banana costumes and monkey costumes. Don't ask me why.
Why not?
Yeah, it's very entertaining. So if you're potentially thinking about another one in the spring, that one's amazing. That would be the one I would do.
Done.
Oh my gosh.
I'll Google it when we get off the phone here.
Okay. I'm going to think about it. Strongly consider it.
All right. I'm in. So you let me know.
Oh my gosh. My stomach. Okay, Cynthia, you're the best. See, I knew that I wouldn't be able to stand up against your convincing. I knew it.
You know, like, it's fun. My goal is to have fun. because it's like, all right, well, let's do some fun things, and then you're going to go to every state, so you want to be able to enjoy something. So
that's true.
It's
very
all
true.
About the fun.
All right, you can find Cynthia on Twitter at @cfreeland, F-R-E-L-U-N-D. She is an awesome guest, yes, amazing person, and I think I may have just allowed her to talk me into running a marathon.
Let's go. I love it.
Cynthia, you're the best. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
OMG, what have I done? No, I'm going to, I got to stop talking right now before I say something I'm going to regret. But see what I mean? I can't say no, especially when it's friends of mine. And she's obviously so inspirational. A marathon in every state? Are you kidding me? All right, Cynthia rocks. I'm going to consider it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Dave's got this gigantic grin on his face like,
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It goes 0-2, and he did get him here. Swing and a miss at the curve. Strike three. Four consecutive strikeouts for Tyler Glasnow. Strikes out the side here in the sixth.
The 1-2 pitch, breaking ball, swing and a miss. He struck him out. That's a career-high tying 13th strikeout for Tyler Glasnow, who has been absolutely sensational. And now the 1-2 on its way. Swing and a miss. He struck him out, and that's a career-high 14 strikeouts for Tyler Glasnow. One out here in the eighth inning.
Castillo delivers 0-2. Strike three called, and the ball game is over. The Rays have defeated the Rangers, and how fitting is it that the night ends on a strikeout? As Diego Castillo strikes three men out in the ninth inning, saving it for Tyler Glasnow, who had quite possibly the best start of his career.
I don't know how much more dominant you can be. He was outstanding. He was efficient. The strikeouts came in bunches, but he was doing it in like three or four pitches. He just had everything locked in.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tyler Glasnow making people forget all about Blake Snell. And he has clearly stepped into that role of ace with the Rays if he wasn't there already and has made it his own, his home, if you will. A career-high 14 strikeouts on 102 pitches. He only allows two hits. Of course, no runs in a 1-0 win. You hear some of the highlights. There were more. You hear some of the highlights on the Rays radio network as he pitches deep into the game. In fact, goes 7 2/3 innings. So really impressive performance by Tyler. And for him, this was definitely, yeah, the extension, the continuation of what has been a great start to the 2021 season.
Yeah, as my mechanics got like easier to repeat as the game went on, it just felt smoother and smoother. But I think from the start to finish today, it was a really good one for me, for sure.
I already want to see this guy on the postseason stage again. We're only in April, and the way that he has started out has been pretty awesome. So I feel as though my brain is buzzing. Yes, baseball. Yes, NBA. We're going to do a little more of the night in sports, the night on the court, on the field, on the diamond, whatever. We're going to do all of that. But my brain is buzzing after that conversation with Cynthia Freeland. So here's my request. Any of you who've run a marathon, I would love to hear from you. Is it worth it? Would you do it differently? Are you glad you did it? How did you feel after doing it? Was it worth the pain? I don't really like pain. And I'll just tell you, as I said to producer Dave during the break, my biggest fear is that it would be so painful I wouldn't enjoy it, right? So I have to drag myself through it. But I know that's where the training comes in. My other thing, hurdle, obstacle that would keep me from committing is the fact that in the wintertime in the Northeast, you're either training in bitter cold or you're going inside and running 20 miles on a treadmill, which also sounds about as much fun as watching paint dry. In fact, it sounds not nearly as much fun as watching paint dry. So there's another challenge too. But I certainly going into the spring and then into the summertime could be doing the bulk of my training now and kind of building up that resistance. But It's scary. It's scary. I'll just be honest. There's not much more that scares me like this does when it comes to exercise and putting myself out there. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, if you've got any advice or if you've run one or you want to tell me not to do it. No, don't do that. I absolutely do love a challenge. And that's why I started running half marathons, because I wanted a challenge, something that would push me, that would keep me going, that would encourage me to get off my butt and get out and run. And I've loved every, I shouldn't say every second, but I've loved every single race for the unique challenge. I've been proud of myself for running them in multiple states. And also to, you know, to making sure I train. I've learned my lesson when I didn't train fully and I was in pain at the end of a half marathon, the one I ran most recently in the spring of 2019. And I was training for another one when everything shut down last spring. So I'll never be like Cynthia. I'll never be 5'6". I will never run 23 marathons. I'll never run two marathons. If I run one, that's it. But for those of you who are listening, if you have that experience, I really would appreciate your insight. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. As I say, on Twitter, you can find me there or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, coming up after the top of the hour, because I was late, this was a shorter segment, my bad. Coming up after the top, Julian Edelman tells you why he's retiring and also shares the emotion as he makes this difficult decision. And in addition, more from Sam Darnold. It's kind of funny to think about how the landscape of the AFC East is still changing. It changed a lot last year when Tom Brady decided to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But the division itself is not done changing, except the Bills have remained really steady through this offseason after making that appearance in the AFC Championship to be able to keep most of their roster together and feel like still they are improving their depth and improving in a couple of different areas. They definitely will be a team to watch in the upcoming season. I miss football. I do love football, but the draft is nearly upon us.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.